Blog Talk Radio.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we're going to talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorda, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. If you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. All right, let's get started with it. DAZN this weekend, William Zepeda versus Maxie Hughes. It was an IBF WBA lightweight eliminator. So, Steve, I didn't know too much about Maxie Hughes prior to this. I knew he was going to be a tough fighter. I didn't know how he was going to fare against William Zepeda, and it looks like he didn't fare well at all here. Williams had paid to stop Maxie Hughes at the end of the fourth round. Hughes' corner actually stopped the fight between the fourth and fifth rounds. This fight was all Zepeda. He put a ton of pressure on Hughes, and Hughes just had no answer. I don't know really what his game plan was. I don't know that he should have been ready for that pressure. I don't know why he wasn't, or if it's just, there's levels to it too, you know. In the fourth round, Hughes got hit with number of body shots, man, and they just seem to be landing. He landed at will. Zepeda just landed at will all fight on this dude, man. Hughes was trying his best, but at the end of the day, man, he was not that competitive. And you know what? I tell you what, hats off to his corner, because the corner saw that. His corner recognized he lost every single round. He was not competitive in any of those rounds. The writing was on the wall. It was 0-4 after that, and his corner just said, hey, we're done, you know. And I tell you what, and like I said, man, hats off to him. You don't see that a lot. You really don't. You see people, they're going to go out on their shield, and the corner says the same thing, da-da-da. But I tell you, they did a good job here in protecting that guy because he was going to get hurt. I mean, he was already in a world between that third and fourth round. He was taking a lot of shots. And in the first round, the best, if you had to give Maxie Hughes his best round, was probably the first. And it was like that feel out round. You know, there was nothing, you know, anybody did. But in second round, Zepeda really started to turn up the heat. And then third and four is just boom, you know.
Maxie Hughes, six or eight months ago, had a really great fight against George Kamposes. I had him winning the fight seven rounds. He ended up losing a majority decision. Max Hughes is a solid fighter, real solid fighter. I didn't think this was going to be a great style for him. And, yeah, you know the pressure's coming. It's like when someone gives you a warning, a weather warning, you know a hurricane's coming. You can prepare for it all you want, but shit's still going to get fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And
it's coming.
And that's how this guy – Calix calls this guy the Mexican murder hornet because he just swarms the shit out of you. And
I always like the Tijuana tornado. I always like that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But
and,
the Mexican hornet,
just,
yeah.
It's just he just swarms the shit out of you, man. That's what he does. And there's no way you can stop him because he's relentless. He doesn't get tired, and he just puts the shots together. He shortens the shots up. He doesn't load up. He doesn't wind up. Nothing's telegraphed. He's just a very fluid combination puncher. He has a real tight, strong defensive construct. And when he's coming forward, he's got the high guard. And it's just really hard to penetrate that high guard of his. And you can punch with him. You can try to. But he just doesn't stop. How are you going to punch with him when there's nonstop combinations being thrown at you? There's no breaks in between, so it's hard to punch with you, punching between the shots. It's just tough, man. And Maxie Hughes is a guy who likes to fight on the outside, likes to use space, but when this guy is coming at you, he's got quick feet as well, and he just doesn't stop, and he cuts off the ring beautifully. He's just hard to get away from.
He really is, man. Real quick, the Zapata Brand Boxing Podcast, thank you guys so much. Said he can't stay for the live, but wanted to show support, love the show. Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, but he just didn't have an answer, and his corner didn't have an answer. And I just – the thing is, like, you just get the feeling that his corner knew he was outclassed. And, I mean, it was pretty evident pretty early. So after the fight, Zepeda calls out Shakur Stevenson. Shakur Stevenson accepted via social media. He says, yeah, who wants to see it? He said, I do, you know. And so he, you know, accepted via social media. That sounds like an easy enough fight to put together. Beeb, you know how I feel about Shakur Stevenson? I like him a lot. He's really tough to hit. He's a tough, you know, he's a tough guy to fight. And I think that Zepeda will make him fight, but at the same time, I think that style, it kind of plays into Shakur's hands, no?
I like Zepeda in the fight because here's the thing. Zepeda's got quick feet.
Okay, yeah.
And Shakur's never fought someone with quick feet like that. So Los Santos had quick feet, and he gave him, he just didn't have the hand speed to keep up with Shakur.
Yeah.
Zepeda, I think, has the hand speed and the foot speed, and he's relentless. And the thing is when you're a counterpuncher, it's hard to deal with this type of pressure.
It's a lot.
It's hard. It's very hard to deal with this type of pressure. This is like when Floyd fought Castillo. Floyd's a counterpuncher, but Castillo was just a relentless guy coming forward, really good inside fighter. But this is a guy in Zepeda. Problem is he's just so quick, and he throws the shots short and compact, and he's got a good jab. He's just a very well-rounded, sound fighter. And the end game is he does like to get inside. There's no question about it. But because he's got such quick feet, he's got such a great jab, he gets there. And it's hard to stop him from coming because you still got to time that jab. And that jab is a stiff, hard, authoritative jab. And, you know, it's just hard timing this guy because he throws feints on the way in. He moves his head on the way in. And he changes levels on the way in. So it's not just this guy bum rushing you. He's coming at you.
Yeah.
And he's making himself a hard target to hit while he's coming at you. And because he's throwing so many punches at you, a lot of times you can't get your stuff off. So I actually would pick Zepeda against Shakur. I think Zepeda could beat Shakur. Yeah. I don't think Shakur's ever faced this type of pressure, and he's faced similar styles. But each time he's faced a style similar to this, there was always one ingredient missing from that style. Like Dos Santos had quick feet, and, you know, it was a competitive fight. Some people had that 7 rounds to 5 for Shakur. It was a fight where Shakur didn't win that fight going away. But, you know, he pretty much was more competitive than people thought it would be.
Right.
But the thing with Dos Santos is he just didn't have the hand speed to keep up with Shakur. And he just couldn't put the shots together. And he really wasn't throwing feints or anything. But he wasn't as sophisticated enough with the offense. And then you had Joey Gonzalez, right? He was a guy who was putting pressure on Shakur. He had his moments, but again, he really couldn't.
That was a different guy. I mean, he's not as skilled as Zepeda is, for sure.
No, but again, the one aspect, one common denominator is a pressure-type fighter,
yes.
but didn't have enough weapons to use that pressure like Zepeda can. So then you look at, you know, you look at Joette Gonzalez, and then you look at Nakatilia, another guy who was a pressure guy. But all those guys just didn't have the foot speed, the hand speed, the sophistication of the offense, being able to set the shots up as well as Zepeda can, right?
Yeah.
And not having the gas tank and not being as consistent with that pressure like Zepeda is. So this is a whole different kettle of fish to Shakur, and I'm just curious to see how he responds to a guy that has pressure, speed, and has some sophistication to his offense as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a great fight. Shakur will probably be favored, no question about it. But I think this is a tough style for Shakur. I really do.
Yeah, I think so too. But I do think that, you know, and I do think that Shakur is going to have to get his respect early in that fight. He's going to have to put something on him. But I will tell you this, and I would favor Shakur, and, you know, here it is, man. And HLD said, how much can Shakur slow down Zepeda from 150 to 75 punches a round? That's still a ton of punches. I get it. Defensive fighters have a way of making you settle down. They have a way of taking you out of your game and playing their game. Bernard Hopkins used to do it. It doesn't matter how many punches you always throw around or you're used to throwing around. It's going to be a different animal in there with Shakur. So that's at least that's what I'm thinking. I can't wait. Hopefully they make the fight, man. That's an easy fight to make, I think. And that's a good fight. I think it's a great fight, man.
Bob said he's willing to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great, man. Let's talk about the second here, the co-main, Floyd Schofield versus Asturi Suero. And Schofield wins by disqualification in the fifth over Suero. This was one of the craziest things we've seen, man. So this guy, Suero, was deducted points all through the fight and then finally ended up getting DQ'd. But, I mean, he jumped up. He, like, headbutted him, headbutted Schofield, cut him numerous times, grabbed him, started spinning him, lifted him up at one point, tossed him over at one point. And you're thinking to yourself, like, come on. I mean, that guy wasn't there to fight, and he knew he was outclassed. And he was trying to frustrate Schofield, but it didn't work. I mean, he was losing badly at the end of the, you know, at the time of the stoppage or whatever the DQ. So Floyd looked good, bad opponent, but he did look good. So there you go. Let's shoot over to ESPN. Your boy, Joe Joyce versus Cash Ali. Cash Ali, man. How about that? Joe Joyce knocks out Cash Ali in the 10th round. Listen, man, Joe Joyce looked okay. He looked okay. But I'm going to tell you this. The amount of times that guy gets hit with a right hand is incredible. He has zero defense for a right hand at all. Like, Cash Ali would just throw the right hand and hit, and he couldn't miss with it. And let me tell you what. He bounced off some of the hardest right hands you will see in the heavyweight division flush against Joe Joyce's face, and Joe Joyce didn't move. And that guy, Cash Ali, is a big dude. And I'll tell you what, I mean, he got hit with big right hands in that fight, and he just kept coming. Didn't move, nothing, just moved forward. That's it, man. Crazy.
Yeah, to me, Joyce looked very ponderous.
Yeah.
He looks slower than usual.
I thought he looked like his old self. I mean, I did. I thought he looked like Joe Joyce. I mean, he didn't, you know.
I thought he looked worse.
Really? You didn't think there was any remnants of, you think there was remnants of that loss or whatever? But
Well,
Cash Ali is not the greatest heavyweight either. I mean, you know, this was definitely a get-back fight for Joe
Joyce.
He used to have
that adamantium skeleton Joe Joyce. You see that movie Wolverine?
Yeah.
When he was aging and his regenerative powers were fading and he ended up dying at the end of that. That's where Joe Joyce, I'm not saying Joe Joyce is going to die, but I think his regenerative powers, his bone density has lessened. His adamantium skeleton is not what it once was. And I just don't think he's the same. He didn't look great yesterday. He always fights that ponderous type of way where he just comes forward, catches a lot of shots, but he just looked very lethargic. His punches look even slower than usual for him.
Oh, a little pudgy too. And then Reese Mack said that Joe Joyce came in the heaviest of his career, 286.
Yeah.
That is not a good weight for him.
Not a good weight, man.
Is Cash Ali related to Muhammad Ali? No, I don't believe so, or we would have heard that 50 times over the broadcast. So, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
He's cousins with Nico Ali Wash. Who knows?
I
don't think so either. Anybody interested in the NCAA, UConn is the number one team in the bracket. So there you go. Let's go to the upcoming fights here, Beeb, because not a whole lot on tap. And that the Cash Ali fight was okay. Like I said, man, I don't know. He knocked him on the 10th. Overall, you thought he looked pretty bad, huh?
I thought he looked less than stellar. Let's put it that way. I don't think he looked great in that fight.
Less than stellar. There you go. All right. March 23rd, one fight next weekend. Dalton Smith, this is on DAZN. Dalton Smith, you pay for this, by the way. Dalton Smith versus Jose Cepeda, 12 rounds, junior welterweights. Is that a pay-per-view fight, Beeb?
No.
All right. Well, what about the co-main then? Sandy Ryan versus Terry Harper, 10 rounds for Ryan's WBO women's welterweight title. Pay-per-view early. What about the co-main event? How about James Flint versus Campbell Hatton? 10 rounds, junior welterweights.
No.
All right.
I told you, I canceled my DAZN subscription.
It sucks, man. I'm telling you, it sucks. We have to wait till 2 weeks after. 2 weeks from now, you got Tim Zhu versus Keith Thurman, Raleigh Romero versus Isaac Cruz. That's actually not a bad card. Yeah. Not a bad card. I'm not paying for it, but it's not a bad card.
Yeah.
So there you go. There you go. Let's bring Robert on here and see if he cut any of the fights. Robert, you're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good, man. Good.
What's up, Robbie?
I tell you what, I'm looking forward to Shakur and William Cepeda getting together. I think that'll be a very interesting fight. Shakur won't be able to have the fight he had against Edwin De Los Santos, that's for sure. And people will be entertained. I can guarantee you that, because William Cepeda is not in a boring fight. He never has been.
Yeah, he won't let Shakur Stevenson do what he did against De Los Santos, man.
No.
That won't happen.
Absolutely not.
I can't see that happening.
Nope. And I view that as a 50-50 fight, guys, even though Cepeda has never really had a title shot. I think because of the way he fights and the way Shakur fights, it's going to be a very interesting fight that plays out, and it could go either way.
Yeah. It's an interesting one, for sure.
Yep. No, I hope they put that together. That would be a very good fight, in my opinion. And remember, Shakur only has one more fight left on his top rank contract. Then he wants to be a free agent after that. So if Bob could put that together and, that turns out to be a good fight, then it'll be interesting what direction Shakur decides to go in after that.
I'll be honest with you, Beeb, do you think there's much demand for Shakur out there? I mean, if I'm a promoter, I'm not exactly wringing my hands together to try to get this guy to come in.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't see if this guy goes and tries to be a free agent, what's going to happen, man. I don't know.
Well, Eric, right
I don't
now
think he's got the fan-friendly style where people are going to flock to him.
Yeah, I think that's the thing.
Eric, right now there wouldn't be a demand, but if he puts up a decent showing against a guy like Cepeda who never stops throwing punches, then it might be a different outlook for him. It depends on how he handles that.
Yeah, it'll definitely depend on this fight coming in.
Exactly.
I would think, if he fights Cepeda and he looks like ordinary, it's going to be tough.
Right.
It's a tough draw.
Yeah. By the way, do you guys know how much they're charging for the pay-per-view on the 30th? Has Amazon set a price
probably like
for that? Yeah.
$80 or something stupid, I would imagine.
I'm assuming it'll be something stupid, but I don't plan on buying
that
either.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not.
I don't know how much that's going to be.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Tim Zhu, but I think he's got the easy pickings here. Fighting a guy that doesn't fight, hasn't fought in I don't know how many years,
And even when he was there, he didn't want to fight anybody that, He was,
exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Keith Thurman was always to me like a wasted talent because like he had all the opportunity. They were billing him as the next guy, next showstopper or whatever. And then he just kind of fell off, he didn't want to fight.
Yeah,
he was inactive.
He never really wanted to fight. And that doesn't make sense because you're right, Eric. Keith had all the talent in the world and didn't want to take advantage of it. Stupid.
I agree. Well, Robert, I'm gonna keep you on here because we're gonna talk about the news and rumors here. Because I'm gonna tell you this, man. I'll tell you right now, I cannot get enough of this. And you know this because I've been sending you videos all week. I love train wrecks, and there is no better one. Our train wreck of the week this week, it's back. Ryan Garcia has said that the New York State Athletics Commission has requested a mental health evaluation, right? This is from De La Hoya. A quote right from De La Hoya. Ryan Garcia, I just talked to him. He's in great spirits, De La Hoya said. He's working his ass off in the gym. Don't mind the post. That takes 5-10 seconds of his time. He's working hard every single minute of the day. WBC, and B, don't worry about it, because WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman is now directly, quote, in direct talks with the New York Commission regarding Garcia. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? So Sulaiman, who can't even enforce his own drug program, by the way, can't even enforce his own drug program, he's got his finger on the pulse of the fight. De La Hoya, and De La Hoya is talking like a promoter here, but you got to wonder, like, I mean, in this, he's doing what he should do. He's saying what he should say and everything like that. But this is bad. This is not a good look at all.
Yeah, I'm not buying it, bro. I think it's an act. I think he's just trying to act. He's trying to act like a fool. He wants attention. Guy's a narcissist, man. Like Steve Kim said, he's a narcissist. He just wants attention. I don't buy it.
I mean, he's saying some awful personal stuff on there, and that kind of thing. I mean, you know,
he's trying.
Why would you lie about that, though?
So you think that he's seen people get
shot? No, he said he's been raped. He's talked about being raped or whatever when he was a kid. That's what he's talking about.
Frankly, guys, I don't.
And then,
he's
saying he's seen politicians rape. He's talking about politicians raping.
Yeah, that I don't. Oh, that stuff is conspiracy. But like, why would he come out and say that? That's a horrible. Number one, if that didn't happen to you and you say it happened to you.
Did he say he was molested as a kid?
That's what he said. Yeah, that's what he said on one of these lives. So for him to just be a narcissist and start vomiting this stuff, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, have you listened to some of the other stuff he said?
Oh, absolutely. I've been listening to all of it. Check this out.
Does it sound real?
It sounds like he's nuts is what it sounds like. It sounds like he's not in a good
mental place.
That's
what he wants you to believe.
Now, check this out. In a video with Fight Hype, Ryan Garcia just revealed that Oscar De La Hoya called him and said that some sponsors are actually pulling out of the fight because what he's been saying on social media. And, you know, and if that's, again, if that's true, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But, like, this is seriously, it's not a good look. And, if I'm De La Hoya or his management, and people tell him this on those lives all the time. Like, he'll go on there with friends. He's like, look, man, you've got to know how this is coming off. Like, they're telling him, like, straight, like, you've got to know how this is coming off. You know what? You got to know why people are worried about you. No, I'm fine. I'm fine, you know? I think there's something mentally up with that guy.
So,
I really do.
So he's witnessed people raping kids, and he didn't do anything about it?
Well, this is what he said, and I guess I'm assuming this is when he was a kid.
Frankly, guys, I don't blame the New York State Athletic Commission for asking for a mental health evaluation, because the way he's acting, I'm just wondering, has he taken too many punches already? You know, because a lot of these fighters who stay in the ring too long, you know, they take too many punches and then their brain doesn't work right. I wonder if it's worked in the reverse for Garcia. You know, has he already taken too many punches? Because frankly, I think Devin Haney is going to have it easy with Garcia. I think it'll be a walk in the park for him. I think
it's going to be an easy fight for, yeah.
I don't think it's going to be competitive at all. And, you know, it's a shame because Ryan Garcia has a lot of talent and he is a good fighter, but his head is not in the right place. And when you're going to go in and fight somebody like Devin Haney, you're going to get seriously hurt. I mean, I don't normally predict knockouts for Devin Haney fights, but it's possible if he's not in the right headspace, Devin Haney could knock him out.
Yeah, and I saw some of his mitt work today with his dad. I guess he was holding mitts with his dad, and they just showed a picture of what's that guy's name? What is his trainer's name?
Derek James.
Just up against the wall, just looking like, what the heck? And he doesn't look good. I mean, he doesn't look good.
What'd you get yourself into, Derek?
Yeah. I mean, and you got to think that he's just running his own game over there too. You know, just like he did with Goosen, like where he came in and he said, this is what I'm going to do. And to me, okay, so in his last fight, I think, and again, I don't know, I'm just saying, if you start connecting dots and you start looking at history a little bit, He said, so like in his last fight, right? In his last fight with Garcia, or not with Garcia, but with Tank Davis. He said, you know, oh, well, this and that. And he said, Joe, he said that he went in the camp, or Joe Goosen said that he came in the camp and kind of wanted to dictate how it was run and how everything was going. That's not really like, that's an odd thing for a fighter to do, no?
Yes.
Joe Goosen said that?
Yeah. Joe Goosen said that Garcia came in the camp and he already had a game plan and exactly, he knew exactly what he wanted to do against Tank, and they just worked with him on that. They kind of took his game plan and worked with him.
Listen,
that like I mean that's
you. If you tried to run that game on a trainer like Emmanuel Stewart, he would have walked out.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Stewart would not compromise himself or pimp himself out there just to get a check.
No.
You know. So anyone that like is part of that, like Joe Goosen, should have walked out. He don't need the money.
Yeah.
What's the sense? Is it worth it? Wasting your time?
And remember, guys, when he fought Oscar Duarte in December, he was trying to do that ridiculous shoulder roll, and it's obvious the guy didn't know how to do it because remember how bad he looked?
Here's the thing, man. If you're a trainer and all this shit is going on around you and you just allow it, And you become part of it, that reflects poorly on you. Like, there's no way that I would stay in a camp with someone like that, you know, unless I really needed the money.
I mean, it is going to be a big payday for him, I'm sure.
Unless I
whoever
really
Garcia fights,
money.
I mean, but even then, like, even when Garcia's going to fight, it's going to be huge money.
But Derek James has had some big paydays off of Errol Spence. And stuff.
Yeah.
He's probably set for life. Joe Goosen, I know, is set for life. Even Freddie Roach, when he was training Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., and Chavez Jr. wasn't even coming to the gym, and he was shadow boxing in his underwear, eating Cheerios in his living room. Like, it's a bad look on the trainers for staying with guys like that if they're not going to follow the program.
Yeah.
Like, Emmanuel Stewart would have been out of there. He would have been out of there.
No, I don't understand. Like I said, man, I mean, that's what they're there for. That's their whole job is, you know, coming up with a game plan to beat this guy. And it's a group of people. You can interject yours. Hey, what about this? Would this work? No, I think this is better. Why or why not? And then there's a discussion happens and, you know, or sometimes maybe you don't know the right way, and then you rely on them, people to break the fights down and everything like that. I just, I don't know, man.
That's an embarrassment, man.
It really is. It's bad. And I tell you what, and if anybody cares about this kid, you know, because they've interviewed his father, too, and his father's all with it, you know, oh, no, he's fine, this and that. That's the problem. Too many yes men around there. Too many yes men. You can't get away with that. You know what I mean? You can't get away with that for any length of time at this level.
Eric, I mean, I'm amazed. This kid has never even won a championship yet, and he's able to dictate to people what he wants to do. You know, I mean, just because you were involved in one big pay-per-view and you got $30 million payday for that does not give you the right. Like, hey, like other people who have dictated their careers, they've won multiple titles and multiple weight classes and so on. He hasn't even accomplished anything like that yet. So what gives him the right to think he can dictate stuff? That's what blows me away.
Well, I mean, he can. I mean, he can dictate whatever he wants. But like I said, when he gets into the trainers and the trainer's supposed to know best, you know, and I, you know, like I said, man, I don't know the dynamic between him and Derek James.
No.
I don't. And we'll find that out coming up soon, and we'll probably find out more after the fight.
No.
But
it's going to be a car wreck on April 30th. I'll just let you know that. That's
April 20th, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, like I said, I don't think the fight comes off.
It's April 20th, right, Robert?
Yep.
Yeah, 420.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. What did I say, April 30th? April,
yep,
I was thinking of the other car.
Yep. It's a 420 fight, all right. It's one crazy setup.
Yeah, I don't understand what he's doing. I don't understand, like, his people around him, why he's not getting it. Well, because why come out like this now? Why throw all this out now?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, what are you doing, Ryan? Like,
well, somebody had the comment last week, and he says that maybe he thinks he's trolling on you, but at the end of the day, he's really trolling himself is what he's doing.
Yeah, he's embarrassing himself.
Yeah, because now everybody's worried about it from him. Andrew Tate, I think he's been on Andrew Tate's show or had Andrew Tate come on the podcast at some point.
He's been in Andrew Tate's Twitter space or something like that.
Yeah.
We did a Twitter space together.
And you know, that's the other thing. I mean, it's just crazy to me, you know, going on. And he came out the other day and said that he's done with social media. He's got to go zero dark 30. He's done. Da-da-da. I'm going to go train. Literally, he made three videos about being done. And then 20 minutes later, there's another video, and he's just going on and on about nonsense.
No, this is not a good look. And, I hate to say this, but I kind of feel bad for DAZN and Golden Boy because they put all kinds of money behind this. This is going to be a big pay-per-view. And
Oscar De La Hoya worth several hundred million dollars.
Yeah.
DAZN is destroying your budget.
Yeah.
By charging you that.
Yeah. I don't feel bad for either one of those fools.
Right. You're going to feel bad for DAZN charging you $225 for a year plus pay-per-views, Robert. You're on a budget. You're feeling sorry for these people.
No, I'm talking about.
They might not make that quarterly
you're
record.
Feeling sorry
no,
for, their,
I'm
for these
Joe,
people.
Joe. You don't. You misunderstand me. No, do
you're
I?
Canceling, do I you're canceling date. You're canceling dinners with Mrs. Herrick because you're buying pay per views and you're feeling sorry for these people.
No, look. Don't get me wrong.
You couldn't even
happy?
Take Mrs. Herrick out for her birthday because you took the money and bought a pay per view instead. I mean,
give me a break.
And you feel sorry for these people. Are you kidding me, Robert?
He jumps to conclusion before I can even finish
He's
my
unhinged.
Thought. Yeah. Look, I feel bad for them in the sense. No, do I agree with the price they charge us? No, I don't, Joe. But I feel bad for them in the sense of, because this guy has gone off the rails. He has got the talent to be an excellent fighter, but they're putting all of their eggs here in the baskets it shouldn't be put in. Devin Haney has got his act together. He's proven what he can do. This should be if both of them were normal people and taking the fight seriously, it should be one hell of a competitive fight. But the way I see it, it's going to be.
This was never going to be a competitive fight, Robert. Stop it. This was never going to be a competitive fight. Come on.
I agree with you, Joe, because Ryan is not taking it seriously.
No, you don't. You just said it was going to be a competitive fight. Now you're saying
I said it was going to be a competitive fight if they both took it seriously, but he's not.
No,
that's
even if he took it serious, it was not going to be a competitive fight. He's not as good as Devin Haney. Come on.
Well, no, I don't. No, I agree with you, Joe. I think Devin Haney's going to win this fight. I'm not
Which
saying
is,
that
Do you
Ryan...
agree with me or you disagree with me? Now you're waffling. You're killing
right.
me,
Eric,
killing
you,
me today.
Eric, do you understand where I'm coming from here? Or am I not making any
Don't sense? Try to pull him into it. Don't try to pull it. Don't throw. Eric is not going to give you a lifeline here. He knows you're nuts. You know, Eric, he's the one that's got some mental problems here.
He doesn't
know what the hell he's saying right now.
Give me a break, Joe.
I think, you know, Robert, I'll tell you what, even if Ryan was like 100% for this fight, right, and I don't know that he is, but let's just say, you know, even if he's at his best, the best Garcia you've ever seen in your life, he's still going to have a tough fight with Devin Haney. That ain't an easy card to draw.
Devin Haney is definitely going to win this fight.
Still favor Devin Haney.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Garcia at his best, I still favor Haney.
Right.
There's one way Ryan can win this fight, Robert. You want to know what that is?
If Haney tricks and breaks his leg
by
on the
not
way,
showing up. By not showing up.
He's got to bring a bat in the ring with him.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. No, this is
yeah,
an
he's
easy
not
payday.
Haney, son.
This is an easy payday for Devin. I'm going to look forward to what Devin does afterwards.
probably feels bad. You feel bad for Elon Musk too when the Tesla stock is down.
No,
maybe
Joe. You,
I mean, the guy's
worth
$300 billion, and maybe one day he's worth $249 billion. You feel bad for him
completely.
You feel bad for these people for.
You completely misunderstood what I'm talking about. So that's all right.
You're making me sick. Look at Steve. Steve's unhinged today, Robert. All right,
yeah.
Robert. We're going to get
bye.
Going here, man. We're going to put you on hold.
Get him
out
of here.
All right.
Get him out of here, man. Give him the hook.
Stop it.
Give him the hook.
Matter with you.
He goes back with his own.
774-774, you're live.
Hey, yo, what's happening, people?
Oh, Georgie.
From one nut to another.
I'm incognito tonight, guys. Incognito. Listen. About the fight, let me get with the Cepeda fucking huge real quick, bro. Cepeda, I mean, yeah, he looked like quick on his feet. He seemed to be fast on his feet, but when come hand speed, I think Chaco going to kill him. That shit not going to be even easy, though. I mean, not going to be even that hard. It's going to be easy. And I don't know. That's going to be the next move for Chaco. Chaco got it look impressive. We all know that because, I mean, If you don't, then there is no appealing for you. So he's going to have to do some work this time around. So that pressure there can make it a good fight, but Chaco should be able to win. I see him winning. I don't have a lot of time, but I want to get into the fucking Ryan real quick because, you know, like that mental illness, there is no joke. And I suffer from that shit all my life too. So who knows how much is that and how much is true what he's saying. I'm not going to call him crazy. Or this means whatever the fuck he's talking about. But for Team Haney, it's not going to be a good luck fighting him. I think they should cancel the fight. Cancel it, baby, because you're not going to win it. You're going to get no props from that shit. And
I don't know, a lot of money, man.
He's going to look bad.
He's not going to beat him. He's not going to beat him.
Come on.
Who's
going to
be who?
And let me tell you what.
You and Robbie FaceTime each other today. What's
we can talk about conspiracy. Listen, I'm going to listen to Georgie on this one because we can talk about conspiracy theories. Who was the first dude to tell us about COVID? Georgie was the first
Fauci,
dude.
It's not him.
No. Georgie was the first dude that came up and said COVID. And we brushed him aside because we're not doctors. You know what I mean? And he was right about it. So Georgie, I'm rolling with you.
Listen, the whole thing with Ryan,
wrong.
We don't
he
know.
He should have been locked down for 2 years.
Crazy.
They destroyed our economy because of Georgie.
baby, but these powers out there higher than us that we can't even fathom what's going on out there. Do kids go missing all
the
time?
Mafias.
And
then
like
mafias.
Half a million kids go missing every year? Nobody know where they
go?
Yeah,
I don't know that that's an accurate number. I don't know that that's an accurate number.
That's what I heard. I don't know either because I really don't dig that much. So you know what
you know,
I'm saying? For me to throw
well,
a,
you know,
I
did some. I did a little bit of research when he started this whole rant. Ryan Garcia started this whole rant. So I did some research. I went to the Department of Justice, and their cases on human trafficking, there are less than 2,000 in the United States. Less than 2,000. More people get killed by vending machines. I'm telling you, I don't know that it's that big of a problem. There's no way half a million went missing.
I mean, but I think that's the wrong research because, I mean, we're talking about missing people. We're not talking about a specific type of, you know what I'm saying, abused kid.
Well, that should be, that's going to be documented, though. If somebody's missing, that's going to be documented.
I don't know, baby. I really don't know the numbers, so I cannot talk about it. But all I'm saying that evil is real. Anything can happen. And until the problem with Ryan is this. You have to put names out there, and you got tapes, you got this, you got that, bro. You got to bring it up. All these I say, I saw, don't mean anything. That's the problem. I got no problem believing what the fuck you say, my G. But you need some evidence. That's the problem. With that on mind,
yeah,
I
he has no evidence.
I gotta let you guys go. It's really important for everybody to support the channel. Always supporting and. If Ryan Garcia, if Chaco ended up fighting Cepeda, I would like to challenge for the championship, for the ringside reporter championship belt. Because I know I fulfilled my shake. I haven't been around. You know what happened. So I'm be able to be around, but I want to come back and challenge for the belt.
You don't just come back and challenge for the belt.
He was a champion.
He's
a champion.
He's got to have some warm up.
He was a champion
and put back at number one.
Show him the respect he deserves.
I'm just saying, you know.
He was a champion.
Baby, I've been four-time ringside champion. Let's get that straight. I'm a four-time.
He's champion emeritus.
Emeritus?
He's champion emeritus. No one's made
hey,
you take more pies in the face
bro,
than
bro,
this
bro,
guy.
Give me an intro. I think I intro. Get me there for the next one. But I got to go, guys. So everybody support the channel. Donate. I'm outie.
All right. There you go.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
the official Georgie entrance. That's a trip. Yeah, like I said, man, he's going on and on about this stuff and saying he's got evidence while producing no evidence at all. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, he's trying to be like Alex Jones, and he's saying he was talking to Alex. He's like watching Alex. He's a very impressionable kid. Like he'll watch somebody or talk to somebody, and automatically he'll just start acting and saying the same things that person says. He was with Floyd for a couple of weeks, and he's like, oh, I love Floyd. Floyd's my best friend. I got Floyd's number in my phone, in my car. Like, it's just like, he's just a weirdo, man.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, I don't know, man. Anytime you're quoting Alex Jones just got sued and lost for $1 billion by them Sandy Hook parents, and good for them. Good for them, you know? All right, let's see what else is in the news here. Roberto Duran was hospitalized this weekend, receiving medical care for a heart problem, his family said. They didn't go into too many specifics, but it sounds like it's going to be okay, hopefully. And he is 72, I believe. He's 72.
Yeah.
So anytime you're in a hospital at 72, it's a little worrisome, but there you go. Muhammad Ali, this is interesting, will be in the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2024. The ceremony will be April 5th during WrestleMania 40th weekend in Philadelphia. If you guys remember, he was in the very first WrestleMania. He played the referee in the Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Piper and Orndorff match. Do you guys remember
that? Awesome. I do.
Yeah, I remember that. They said there was a guy, they were talking about this backstage, like the backstage interviews and stuff like that, and they were talking about the first WrestleMania. And because I think Ali had hit Piper at one point in the match. I guess he had hit him or something like that. And when he came, they said that Ali really got it. You know what I mean? Like he really understood what was going on there as far as like what his role was, what he got it. You know what I mean? And somebody asked Piper, he says, he looked like he hit you. He says, I didn't feel a thing. He said he pulled it and everything. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly how to throw a punch that didn't land and make it look good and everything like that. So I thought that was really cool. That was really cool.
Cool in that, too, because he was still in pretty decent shape.
Yeah, he moving around and everything like that. And he looked good, man. He looked real good. Let's see here. And last but not least here, we have Josh Taylor and Jack Catterall. For a third time has now been postponed. Taylor underwent a procedure on his eye last month, pushing the fight off, and it's intended April 27th date. Taylor Catterall 2 has now been rebooked for May 25. Number one, that fight is cursed. But number two, like, this, I mean, Catterall has to take the fight now after you know, his last fight. But he's wanted this guy for a long time, man. And things just keep getting in the way.
Yeah, this fight looks like it's cursed. And I wonder what procedure he had. I wonder if he had a cataract or something.
I don't know. I don't know. They weren't real specific. Like I said, man, they weren't real specific on it.
Yeah, because it couldn't have been a retina.
No. No way. He couldn't heal that quick.
Yeah. Cataracts, they help you. When you get a cataract removed, that's a procedure.
Gotcha. All right, 516. 516, you're live.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jesse, man. How you guys doing? What's up, bro?
Jesse, what's happening?
What's up, man?
I don't get to call in as much, but I just want you guys to know I still listen to the show, man, weekly. You guys do a great job. Did you see that PBC, did you see that PBC All Access on YouTube?
I did.
And stuff, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I kind of liked it, you know.
I liked it. I actually liked it, too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think they did a great job on that, the four different fighters. I'm kind of looking more forward to the Rolly Romero fight. I think I could win some money on that one with Rolly as the underdog. You know, I think Rolly's going to win that match. The Tim Zhu, I understand
I
Keith Thurman is the name. Yeah, Eric, thanks, man, backing me up. I think Tim Zhu is going to beat Thurman. You know, I kind of like the name for his resume. It's somebody for his resume. And, you know, ultimately we might see a Tim Zhu
versus. Credit to that at least, right?
Yeah. You know, and ultimately we'll see a Zhu versus a Zhu versus Crawford showdown. You know, I wouldn't be mad at that, you know. What do you guys think about this Jake Paul-Mike Tyson match? I missed the beginning. I don't know if you guys talked about it yet.
Talked about it like a little bit last week. You know, it's an exhibition. I think that people think it's going to be a real fight.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there's going to be judges in there, you know. Now, Jake Paul did clarify there's not going to be headgear or anything like that. It's going to be like a normal, you know, scrap. But, again, it's an exhibition. They're not going to have I think it's going to be a lot like the Jones, Roy Jones fight, you know, him and Mike Tyson.
I thought it was going to be a real match. I didn't even know it was going to be an exhibition.
No, it's not going to be a real match.
No.
But I think, well, are knockouts allowed? Or is, because I think, you know, it's crazy because a lot of people
I wouldn't think so. No, I wouldn't think so.
Because a lot of people I'm talking to are picking Tyson, and I'm like, you guys got to remember, this is a 57-year-old man versus a 27-year-old, like, active boxer, like, you know. There's no way Mike Tyson wins this fight, you know, but, you know, I think it's going to do the numbers for sure. You know.
Is it even a real fight? That's the thing.
Yeah, nobody's really come out with the rules yet, you know, as far as will there be judges, will there not be judges, will you declare a winner, will you, you know what I mean? So I don't know. And, I mean, could a commission let this go on? I imagine they could. I don't imagine they, you know. But, yeah, you kind of ask yourself that, you know.
Yeah.
Reese Mack said
Tyson's
putting up impressive videos of himself hitting the pads. And, yeah, but they're all like 10-second clip, you know, 10-second snippets. You know, we can all kind of,
and that's
you know.
In the gym. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So just to clarify, too, right, because I was following that live. The first day Garcia had that breakdown. And, you know, so there's a lot of tweets that got deleted. And he said he was raped as a kid. He also said that he was forced to watch people rape kids and drink blood out of the kids. If he is just playing possum, that's a pretty sick joke to make.
That's where I come out at. I think that's the thing, man, like, because a lot of people said that, you know, like he's trolling or whatever, but that's not really a trolling kind of statement. You know, the stuff that he's saying is not really like just him hyping anything or anything like that. Those are like, and especially like if you're talking about that subject and it hasn't happened to you and you're saying it's happened to you, it's like, dude, that's not. And if it did happen to you, that's horrible. And the fact that this comes out right now, why, you know, why nobody is coming to this guy's aid and saying, hey, man, we need to shut this down. Let's go get you some help. And let's, you know, he's already, didn't he already took a week off or a couple months off or whatever for mental illness or something like that. I mean, and nobody's going to blame him
back
for pulling out of that fight. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really bizarre. Well, I think it's not only mental illness. I think it's drug abuse here. Like my theory is that he went on a binge and now he's having hallucinations. I've heard of like cocaine hallucinations when somebody's been up on coke, like
for 4 or 5 days and stuff. If you see him when he signs the contract, or another video he does, his eyes is flushed, his skin is real pale. When he's not slurring his words, he looks like somebody going through withdrawals. So I'm not sure if a mental breakdown is the issue, or if he's just coming off of, or if he's having an addiction issue. That's my theory on the whole situation.
If you look, and if anybody's even questioning whether it's real or not, take a look at the first press conference and then take a look at the second press conference in L.A. That was a big difference. That was a completely different guy than showed up for the first press conference. Completely different demeanor, everything. And from that point on, it has went straight downhill for him.
Yeah, man, I don't even think I'm going to watch the fight, to be honest. I'll hear about Devin Haney winning the next day. I lost all interest in that fight, man. But, you know, shout out to you guys, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Number one podcast, boxing podcast, Sunday nights. All right, later.
Thank you, bro.
We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, Jesse Reakin. CN, thank you so much. He said Holyfield came back and had a real match. He did, but it's not the same.
That was supposed to be an exhibition too, but Peter Belfort didn't get the memo.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, he sure didn't. All right, guys, let's see here. I think that's it, babe. It's a short news week.
Short week. I mean, we got Ramirez taking on Bulamarian for the, I think it's WBC cruiserweight title next week. That's like the only fight we got, really.
That's it. Yeah. Not good, man. Not good. Then we got the Zhu and Thurman fight after that. So look forward to April. All right. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on X at JHabib1. YouTube channel is ringsidereporterlive.com, and you can find me on Twitter or X at ringside73. And, guys, we will see you later.